Now it's on. All right. Hello. I'm Sophia. I don't know all of you, but I interned here with SLI 2 summers ago. Yay! Those good times. Most of you know my little brother Sam. I hope you're nice to him. Turn around. I know. I saw the 200 comments you guys put on that picture. It's kind of ridiculous. Anyways, yeah, I'm a junior at Stanford, as Jordan mentioned. I'm majoring in human biology, concentrating in women's health. So if you have any questions about biology or humans or women, you can ask me. But yeah, enough about who I am. To start off the night, I have a question for you all. And you guys are going to have to answer it. It's not rhetorical. So the question is, if you could spend one day with any one person, not a person from the Bible, who would it be and what would you do with them? Anyone in all of history except not in the Bible. I guess it could be fictional. It's not a very complicated question. Any person, what would you do with them? Anyone? Any thoughts? Huh? If you could spend one day with anyone in all of history, who would you spend it with and what would you do? So Mark would spend the day with Harry Potter. What would you do with Harry Potter? Who would you want to hang out with? What would you do?
I veto that one. Jump on me.
Who would you spend the day with? He was. Yeah, so you ask him questions. Jordan?
I would hang out with Allison. All of
the aww.
We would do nothing. We would just lay around. Who would you want to hang out with, Allison?
Loaded questions. Loaded questions. All right, anyone? Loves Allison. All right, so I hope you all thought of someone, even if you didn't tell me or anyone else. But remember that, because we'll come back to that later in the night. So yeah, I'm here to talk to you about who Jesus is and what kind of people he made us to be, and kind of how I've learned in the past couple years at college that the fullest life we could ever live, no matter what we're doing, be a doctor or a janitor or a teacher, is one where you're having intimacy with Jesus and intimacy with God. So intimacy with God, that's a pretty ambiguous term, right? And I think a lot of us hear it and we're like, intimacy? That's kind of awkward. Good God. We're not talking about that kind of intimacy. Some of you may be thinking, intimacy, that's all about lovey-dovey things. I'm hardcore and I don't need intimacy. But the kind of intimacy you're talking about tonight is one that requires a lot of courage and a lot of intentionality and that can't really be half-hearted about. So, yes, intimacy is largely about rest and pursuing deep rest and peace that God gives us. And I've been learning a lot about what it means to rest. And I'm here to share with you guys how good that is and what that means to me and what it does not mean. So, yes, be excited. Yay! All right, so the passage we're looking at today is in Luke 10. Does anyone have a Bible? I left mine over there. Do you want to read? I didn't. Thanks. I'm prepared. So it's Luke 10, verses 38 through 42. Abby, would you mind reading that for us? 38 through 42. Thanks. So, a lot of you have probably heard about this passage before, Mary and Martha. To start, we're going to talk about what Martha's doing in this passage. So Martha's doing something nice for Jesus. He's like wandering around doing all this service for people, and she invites him to her house to give him food and entertain him and, give him a place to stay for the night. So this is a really good desire that she has, and she really wants to love Jesus in this way. So Jesus is there, all the disciples are there, there are probably a bunch of people there, and Martha is serving, and she's like making the food and making sure everything's ready for Jesus. And this is what's expected of her, and this is what she was planning on doing. Women were often the hostesses, and they were expected to do a lot of the like behind-the-scenes work. So she's being a good woman, she's being a good hostess, and she's serving Jesus well. But somewhere in the frenzy of serving, she cracks. So like think about a time that you've been like working and you feel unappreciated. So you're like working really hard. Maybe you like made a really nice meal for your family or something and they just eat it and like are talking amongst themselves and you're like working in the kitchen and they're having fun but you're having no fun and you're like, shoot, I did all this work and you guys are having fun but I'm in here and this is stupid and no one's helping me. And you get all bitter. It kind of sucks to feel that way, right? And this is how Martha is feeling. So I'm kind of like imagining this scene as I was preparing. And so maybe the kitchen's over there and everyone's in here, like you guys are here now. Jesus is like life of the party. Maybe he's like doing some sort of deep teaching about like healing or casting out demons. Or maybe he's like teaching dance moves because Jesus liked to party. But people are having a good time. And Martha's sister Mary is talking to Jesus, and she's like sticking right close to him, and she's not doing work with Martha in the kitchen, who's like hearing all these noises of people laughing and being happy, but she is not happy. So I kind of like imagine Martha over there, and she's like listening, and she's working, and like all this like tension is building up in her heart, and she's like, oh, I wish Mary would come and help me. I'm so like, I have so much to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. And so eventually she like storms in here and she's probably like all frazzled and her hair is all messed up and maybe she like stomps her feet and she's like, Lord, do you not care that my sister is not helping me? Tell her to help me. So like she doesn't even talk to Mary. She doesn't like take Mary aside and she's like, hey Mary, could you come and help me? She like confronts Jesus and she's like, don't you care about me, Jesus? I'm in there working and no one else is helping me. So it kind of looks like she's being a tattletale, right? That's what we do. What me and Sam did. Mom, Sam's not helping me! And my mom would tell Sam to come and help me because usually he'd be playing video games or something. but that's not what... So, yeah, maybe Sam was reading his Bible. You think he was? You have faith in Sam's character? Good. it looks like she's telling on Mary. But when we look deeper at what she's saying, this isn't about Mary and Martha. It isn't Mary that Martha's really mad at. It's Jesus. This conflict is between Martha and Jesus. Martha's begun to question who Jesus is, and she's saying, Lord, don't you care? I invited you to my house, and aren't you noticing what I'm doing for you? Don't you see I'm working my butt off, and no one is helping, and they're taking me for granted? You are taking me for granted, Jesus. You don't love me. So Martha is on a very slippery slope by saying, Lord, don't you care about me? And don't you see the ways that I am working and doing these things for you? And I think probably in the back of her head, she's wondering, man, was it really even worth it to ask Jesus over to my house? It's kind of sad. So my guess is that a lot of us here can relate to Martha. We're in the Martha boat, and we're tired, and we pour ourselves out a lot of times trying to help each other, and to be nice to people, and to serve them, and to do what the Bible says. I've often found myself saying, God, I'm tired, and I feel like I've done so much, but I'm not getting anything out of this. No one is taking care of me. I'm the one taking care of people. No one is appreciating my sacrifice, and I don't know if this is worth it. I don't trust that you are good and your promises that you will fill us when we love other people. So I think that's the tension that Martha is sitting in as she is stewing about whether or not Jesus is noticing her and looking at how Mary is with Jesus instead. So let's look at what Mary's doing. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him teaching. The talk that Jordan said that I was giving was, be a kindergartner at story time. And I think that's a pretty good picture of what Mary was doing. She was sitting, gazing adorably up at Jesus' face. She could probably smell his feet because she was sitting right next to them. She could see how tangled his beard was. I thought it was funny. That's why I said it. What Jesus' feet smelled like. But yeah, she could see the color of his eyes and his beard. Maybe she was like, hey, Jesus, you got some food there in your beard because I can see it. She noticed how his hands moved around when he was teaching. She laughed at his jokes, and her heart was, moved by the things that he was saying. And as I was reading this, I was like, man, do I know Jesus like that? Do I, know the way that he talks and know the way that he talks to me? Yeah, I think it would be amazing to know Jesus and, have one moment with him like Mary did at that time. I think if Jesus was here and if I could just smell his feet, it would be worth it because it would be Jesus' feet. but yeah, ask the question of yourself, do you know Jesus like this? Do you know what his heart is like and what he would say to you and the way that he would look at you if he was in the room right now? Are you familiar with the way that he likes to speak to you and touch your heart? Kind of side note, but Jesus really likes to play, and he likes to play with us. Jesus has a lot of jokes. And I think that's probably why all the kids liked him. More on that later, how Jesus has joked with me. But you all should try it sometime, what it means to joke and play with Jesus. But yeah, back to Mary. Mary's taking a huge cultural risk in deciding to sit here with Jesus. For one, I said, this is her house, and her sister is slaving away in the kitchen, and it's expected that she would help. That's what a good sister would do, right? She also is a woman, and the position of sitting at a teacher's feet was only given to that teacher's disciples. Disciples were of rabbis, like Jesus, were only ever men. So she's not fulfilling her duty as a sister. She's not really conforming to the cultural expectations of what women do. But she decides that it's worth it. People are probably what are you doing here, Mary? And then maybe they're all sitting farther away from her because she's a woman, but, maybe they think she's lazy or that she's, yeah, I don't know. But she thinks it's worth it. She wanted to be with Jesus, so she didn't care what anyone else thought about what she was doing. What it looked like to everyone else. So I think as I was thinking about this and what it means to pursue intimacy with God and to pursue rest, rest is a huge cultural risk for us. Have you ever noticed that so much of what we do and so much of what our culture advertises is to do more work and how to get more work done. Caffeine. How much caffeine can you drink so you can stay up more and do more work? I think how many hours we can spend working on a paper, how many AP classes we take, how many extracurricular activities we do. These are all things we want more and more and more of, and we try to do as much as we can even if they're sucking the life out of us. I think it's kind of funny how oftentimes the fewer hours someone sleeps, the higher social standing they have. So, hear conversations about, dude, I'm so tired. I only slept, 5 hours last night. And then someone else will be like, dude, I slept 2 hours last night. And then someone will be like, I didn't sleep at all. I win. And they're like, no, you lose. But really, the point is that rest is, unacceptable in our culture. People take a lot of time off, they're considered lazy and not doing their job well enough. And I think even in Christian communities, a huge emphasis is put on how many homeless people can we feed and how many conversations can we have about Jesus. And if we are taking time to rest, then it's oh, okay. And then they're so let's talk more about things we're doing, because rest is kind of an awkward subject for us to talk about. So every week, I don't do any work on Saturday. Work for me right now is schoolwork, and sometimes it's ministry. So I won't do any schoolwork or any ministry stuff on Saturdays. And most of the time, this is a very foolish thing to do, right? Because it's like I have paper due on Monday and a midterm on Tuesday, and I haven't started looking at anything for either of them. And I'm going to not sleep much. But yeah, I call this like day off a Sabbath. You guys may be familiar with the concept of like God commanding the Israelites to Sabbath, to work 6 days and then not do any work on the seventh day. God like struck someone down for like not taking the Sabbath and doing work. Not saying that Jesus is going to strike you all down because you don't take Saturdays off. I don't think so. but yeah, this time for me is like a space where I can intentionally spend time alone with Jesus and get to know who he is and who I am. Kind of take time to like sit at his feet and like learn what it means to just be with Jesus. This promise is true, by the way, that when we seek his kingdom first, all these other things will like fall into place. So all the papers and like the midterms and the finals that I have those next weeks, they all end up okay. Like since I started taking days off, I've actually gotten better grades, funny enough. And I think that really is by God's grace because I'm not prepared a lot of the time. But I think God really values it, and he doesn't just look over it when we decide to rest and trust that he will provide because we really value spending time with him. So that was kind of a tangent, but it had to do with rest, which is what Mary was doing by sitting at the feet of Jesus. Everyone else is glaring at her. Martha is telling her that she's worthless and like yelling at Jesus about her not working. So let's see what Jesus' response is to both Mary and to Martha. So Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So yeah, all things considered, this is surprising. Like I was saying, in like families, if I told my mom and dad that Sam wasn't working, they'd be like, "Sam, go do work." Like, can you imagine how different this passage would be if it was like, Jesus was like, "You know, Martha, you're right. Mary, what are you doing here? Get out of here. Go work in the kitchen." Like, that would change things a lot. But that's not what Jesus does. Thank goodness. So his response to Martha is not being mad at her. He doesn't like say, "Martha, you just don't get it. You just need to be quiet." But he's gentle with her. There definitely is a rebuke in what he says, that she has not chosen the better thing, and that she's focusing on the wrong things. But yeah, I really appreciate about Jesus that Martha like vents at him, and she like puts all this stuff on him that he kind of has no responsibility for. But he can take all of that. And he speaks words that are harsh and not gentle. He doesn't tell her to go back to the kitchen and finish all the work because now no one's doing any work. But he invites her to do that one thing that is necessary, which is to rest and be with him. Yeah, and I think it's really important here to see that Martha heard this from Jesus, that it's okay to rest, once she was actually honest with him, that she was tired. And I think oftentimes we aren't even honest with God about being tired or being frustrated with not feeling like we're getting anything out of the work we're doing, or that we're tired of working for Jesus. So yeah, that's Jesus' response to Martha. Jesus' response to Mary is that he will never take away what she has chosen, this better thing. He says, she has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So what did she choose? She chose to sit with him and to be with him and to rest instead of working. Jesus says that he will never tell her to get up and go and do more work because she's being lazy. Jesus loves having Mary with him. And he said it's better for her to rest and be with him than to be worried and anxious and upset because there's so much to do and so little time. Jesus is not worried about whether or not everything will get done, whether or not there will be a perfect meal, or the house will be perfect. But he wants first and foremost for our hearts to be at peace and for us to be able to trust him and know that he really loves us and he wants to be with us above all other things. And it's good to realize here that Jesus isn't calling us to rest while he hasn't rested. Jesus was like resting all the time. Jesus took like a 40-day personal retreat in the wilderness with God. I mean, yes, he didn't have any food, but that's besides the point. He was like, I mean, he's like savior of the world, right? I mean, you could think like, Jesus, why weren't you just like healing everyone and like making everything better? Instead, you're like off by yourself in like the wilderness where nothing's getting done. Like, what's that about, Jesus? But Jesus found that this was more important. It was more important for him to know who God was and who he was before he did any sort of ministry at all. We also see Jesus getting up really early in the morning when he's with his disciples and, like, running away into a desolate place and, like, hiding from everyone. And then everyone wakes up and they're like, where's Jesus? And they all, like, run around in the mountains and then they find him and he's like, we're actually going somewhere else because pretty much that's what God told me to do. So, the point is that Jesus rested a lot, even when everyone else was looking for him and even when it seemed like he was in really high demand. Like, people were like, Jesus, I need you. I'm, like, hurting right now, or I really want to learn from your teachings. Jesus did meet their needs, but he chose to spend time with his Father first, and that was his priority. I think if crowds were looking for me, I'd be like, here I am, I'll help you. And I think that's what a lot of us would do. I don't think I'd, like, run away and, like, go spend time with God. But that's what Jesus does, and that's what he calls us to do as well. So what does it mean for us to truly rest and receive? I think a lot of us don't really know what that means. And this rest and receiving is at the heart of what Mary is doing and the heart of what Martha lacks. This is what intimacy with Jesus is. Remember that question I asked at the beginning, that, like, who would you spend a day with and, like, what would you do with them? And I feel like the general trend was, like, we'd want to be with our, like, heroes or, like, the people we want to learn from. And we wouldn't be running around, like, giving them stuff and, like, look, I made this for you. Or, like, look, I made you some food. You'd be, like, tell me all about yourself and, like, teach me how I should be, like, living my life and tell me, like, what to do. Or you just, like, have fun with them. One of mine was, like, mine was C.S. Lewis, actually, too. But, I was, like, I would want to, like, walk on the beach with him and, like, have him tell me stories because he had a good imagination. And this is what Jesus wants to do for us. He wants to be someone that we can walk around with and ask questions of, and he wants us to tell us about how much he loves us. And what he wants to do for us. He doesn't want senseless slaves running around doing things because they feel like they have to, or if they feel like no one else will. He wants men and women who know him and men and women who he knows that are motivated to serve him not to get his affirmation and approval, but who do it because they know that they are already loved. Jesus wants your heart, not your work. He wants to give you life and teach you and to laugh with you. He doesn't want to just give you a set of rules or things to do. So I know this idea of, like, rest sounds really appealing to me, but practically, I have no idea what this looks like. When I think of rest, generally it's like, oh, like, watch TV or do other, like, senseless, brainless activities. Rest is often, like, escape from my life. But this is not the kind of rest that Jesus is talking about. The rest our culture offers us usually disconnects us with what's really going on in our lives. What I'm talking about is rest that confronts these issues and these things that are on our hearts. And brings peace into the deepest parts of our souls. This peace comes from looking at Jesus straight on and seeing that he knows you and he knows the, like, deepest, darkest things that you don't even like to admit to yourself, and that he loves you nonetheless. So I know for me, sometimes spending time with God, like doing quiet times, can feel kind of like work. It's like, man, another thing to do, read the Bible, check that off my list. So I'm going to share with you before we close about kind of my personal journey in learning how to rest and learning how to delight in God and to have fun with him and have him delight in me. So I kind of mentioned, like, honesty being a very important part of rest. I think it's a very important part of, like, learning about ourselves and learning about deeper things about God. It's like a story about, like, my experience being honest with God. So I was at this like retreat and we were talking about the parable of the prodigal son, the like bitter older son and the like wayward younger son. We were like, which one were you? So I was like journaling and I realized I'm like really bitter about like, so I'd like never dated anyone. So I was like, Jesus, I'm really bitter about like not having any boys in my life who are like telling me I'm wonderful and beautiful. And like one of my main complaints was like, Jesus, I've never even had a conversation about someone where they tell me that they like me. So I was like really bitter. And then like right after that, I was like walking to lunch. And one of my friends comes up and he's like, hey, we need to talk. And then he was like, I gotta like you. So it's like ridiculous, right? And I was like, Jesus, you're so funny. Like I was like venting at you and like being really bitter about like how this wasn't working out for me. And I was really angry at you. And then you were like, here's this. So yeah, Jesus likes doing funny things, but we don't realize that he's doing them unless we're honest with him about the really like deep things in our hearts. So yeah, when I first started this whole like Sabbath thing and resting more, I started with like ways that I knew I connected with Jesus. So I like went to the beach because I like being in nature, like went on walks or like I read. I don't think that rest is necessarily like sitting in your room and like holding your hands and being like, okay, Jesus, I'm ready to like rest. Like that's not very restful for me a lot of the time. So like think about like what are ways that you connect with God? What are some things that you really enjoy doing? I also really like drawing. So sometimes I will draw when I'm Sabbathing and usually like some like things come up in the drawings that I'm doing that like help me like figure out the state of my soul because I can't really express it any other way. Yeah, I have some friends who do this too, and like things they do are like they like listening to music, not like, yeah. Well, like Jesus music, the songs where they really feel like they can worship God, and they just like listen to music and like sit there and like think about the words and like how that like affects their hearts. I have friends who like biking and they go on like really long bike rides. I have friends who like to journal and friends who like to go to coffee shops. So it's kind of like resting and like receiving from God. There's no like general formula. I think one requirement is like being alone with God. I think it's hard for us to like, yeah, really hear Jesus speaking to us and really be honest with God when there's like all this other stuff going on around us. I think some challenges to resting are the feeling like you're shirking responsibility. So you're like, I have all these other things to do. Can't really rest. For Martha, it was like, someone has to like make the food and like someone has to do all this stuff. I'm like leading a Bible study. So it could be like, someone has to like go and talk to these girls and someone has to like call them and ask them if they're coming to like large group or something. But I think like, that is like a very subtle form of like pride of like, Jesus, you need me. Like if I take a day off, man, the world is going to go crazy because no one else is going to do what only I can do. So yeah, but that's a big challenge for us to feel like we have all these things to do that affect other people and we have to do them. I think there's also a way that resting feels like showing weakness or like being a failure. You're like, I have to rest. I fail at life because I'm tired and I can't like keep up with the pace of things. But no, I think like all of us like could keep up with the pace of things. Like if we, I mean like, or we can like pretend like we look like it. If we just like keep doing studies and like keep doing work and like, I mean that's like the nature of the rat race, right? Is that you're always going, you're always finding more things to do. And I think it takes real courage to rest. To like step away from that and like everything that everyone else around you is doing and say, no, like this is what Jesus is calling me to do. This is what Jesus says is to rest and to be with him. And I'm going to be really intentional about that. So yeah, I think like what I would most want you to know from coming away from this is that Jesus wants your heart. He wants you. He wants to know you and have a relationship with you. He doesn't want just your service. Yeah. He cares about who you are and not all the time what you do. I think like what we do follows naturally out of who we are and who we feel like God is telling us who we are. But yeah, Jesus really wants your heart. And I think a caution is that if you don't understand that Jesus loves you, and he wants to give you the good gift of a real relationship with him, and he wants to give you rest, then you will burn out. It's happened to me a few times. I like, I can do this all on my own. Like, I can like fix myself and like do all the things that the Bible is telling me to do. And then it just gets really tiring. And if I'm trying to do it on my own without resting and without receiving love and grace from God, then it's like, there's no point. There's no point in this. But it's always been encouraging to me that Jesus says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. All Jesus requires is coming to him. I think the details of that can be worked out. But Jesus wants us to come to him. So rest is a gift, and it is good, and it is a joy to learn how to delight in God and really feel the delight that God has in who he made each one of us to be. I don't want, like, resting to be another thing that you put on your, like, oh, shoot, I gotta do that too now. No, this is, like, this is really good, and it's a gift. And I just encourage you to, yeah, figure out what it means for you to receive rest. Come to Jesus with the things that you're, like, tired and frustrated about. Be honest about them. I think God is faithful to meet us in those places. So, yeah, I have a few, like, you guys usually do discussion, I guess. I have a few discussion questions. But, yeah, kind of a comment. Like I said, I rest every Saturday. So if any of you are like, I want to rest, but I can't do it where I am, you're welcome to come and join me. I may not talk to you very much, but you can come and do and rest with me. So yeah, the questions I have, I was late in making all this, so I didn't send them out to people. One of them is, what are some of the barriers to you resting and spending one-on-one time with Jesus? So this may be things like, it's boring, or I don't know what to do, or yeah, things like this. What are the barriers to you resting and spending one-on-one time with Jesus? What is one way that you are tired? This could be like physically tired. This could be like, I'm just tired of like doing work and like doing this whole thing. And what is one way that you can commit to spending time with Jesus alone this week that's not just sitting on your bed in your room? Like, what is one way that you can, like, rest and, like, yeah, enjoy Jesus.